Yesterday we spoke about Yiskadel v'Yiskadesh as opposed to Yiskadal v'Yiskadash. So Rav Yeshua brought me an article written by somebody named Dan Rabinowitz. I don't know who he is. He is very angry at the Mishnah Berurah for saying to say Yiskadel v'Yiskadesh. He basically says that it all comes from Zalman Henna, who was a maskil anyway, he doesn't quite say that. And that the Prima Gardim also was related to the maskilim. I had never heard this. You heard this before? He says that Mishnah Berurah brings it from the Prima Gardim. And I don't mean to make fun. I mean, I don't really mean to make fun of it anyway. What? It's very interesting. Everything is very, very interesting. He tries to show, I mean, based on what he does show that the Zalman Henna was the first one to say Iskadel, although later he does write that one of the Siddurim that was not a Zalman Henna Siddur said it as well. I forgot which one. One of the Siddurim, more than one, he says the Gra said Iskadel. The Gra supposedly was not a follower of most of the innovations of Reb Zalman Henna. He brings someone else. And he says, and there's something to be said about it, is that Mishnah Berurah is quoting a Prima Gardim. It's not clear that there are others who hold like the Prima Gardim to say Yiskadel.
Usually that if he brought it down, it's not one person. He usually doesn't bring who? It down.
Because the Mishnah Berurah basically only deals with the Paiskim. He doesn't deal with the Dikduk Svarim. Shuba doesn't bring the Dikduk Svarim anyway. He may not have had them in Poland. He wasn't in Lithuania. He was in Poland. And he may not have had them. And if he had them and chose to ignore them, I don't remember him quoting Dikduk Svarim at all. He says Yiskadel.
What?
He says Yiskadel based on the Prima Gardim, okay. And the writer here explains that it's based on a Prima Gardim with Falsam Zalman Henna, but he's almost a Das Yachid, which is fine. His attack on the Prima Gardim for following the Maskilin is a little. I mean, he could be a Das Yachid without. I never heard anybody say he was a maskil. Except here, he writes.
He didn't live in the period of the so-called maskilim. That was a later movement.
He says a closer look at both Rabbi Ta'omim's life, the Supreme Gardim. Originally, he's in European stock. He spent 2 years in Berlin. During this time, he studied in the Beit Medrash of Daniel Yafo. At the time, the Beit Medrash was popular by the leading maskilim of Berlin. It seems that Tova studied with them and may have been exposed to some of the literature. He's never considered a maskil. The Prima Gardim is not considered a... So, I don't know.
It's not a sign to say, there isn't a shul to say Yiskadel. You try Yiskadel in Shabbat.
Well, he says to say Dafka Yiskadel. Yeah, it's interesting.
Who does?
Okay, it's not,
What is the Hasidic
doctrine?
The Chafetz Chaim did not display the same view towards Haskalah innovation as Rabbi Tomim did. I don't know what he means. He says the Mishnah Berurah's views are shocking, nothing less than shocking. It's almost a little overstated. I mean, to follow a Prima Gardim is not shocking, yeah. Now, he doesn't mention that the Rabbi Yehuda considers Zalman Henna to be Hamadak de Kagadol. Rabbi Yehuda speaks praiseworthy in the pathways of the prophets. Have a whole list of people that Gedolim that followed him. Lubavitch's Siddur follows, and they probably be Skadel. Lubavitch, the Siddur generally follows Zalman Henna. Rabelski was a Zalman Henna man. 100% he was a Zalman Henna.
And he was very didactic.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be a surprise. Zalman Henna had genius innovations. You know, it's
what would be the
Afkamin of Shat? There's no Afkamin of Shat, just Afkamin of pronunciation. But there were Jews who cared so much about it. Like, I think today there aren't so many machleksim like there used to be. But one of the reasons there are so many machleksim is people don't really care that much. You know, you do it this way, you do it that way. It's, you know.
Also, people are not marked and addicted to
Dikduk for sure. In general, people, in general, you know, I was putting on tefillin standing by the Sephardic minyan. I was saying they should be angry at me when I put on tefillin standing. I started to go out when I put on tefillin. Sephardim put it sitting. Sephardim come here, they put it on sitting. Like, nobody really cares. Like, you could put sitting, I put standing. But nice, which is good. But, you know, we don't really, I don't think we have the same passion.
They say Rochu at the end, which I don't know why.
Who's Makbid?
Are you Makbid at the
end? No, you can say Baruch Hu. There's nothing wrong with saying Baruch Hu. I once heard from Ramosha, you can say Baruch Hu anytime you want, even in the dining room. Somebody asked, your brother was there, Reb Dov, when I was a boy. He was writing his halachis. So he asked him, if you should say Baruch Hu after davening, you came late. So Ramosha said no. So he said, Shameka Macha. So Ramosha said, you could say it in the dining room too. He was talking about yeshivas. He said, you can say it in the dining room too. What's the difference? Baruch Hu, Baruch Hu. It's nice.
Especially, there's quite a few
Sephardim
that
are all on the other. Yeah, the Sephardim I'm happy to say. Yeah, there's nothing
wrong. Especially by this
part, I definitely say. Without the Sephardim, sometimes we'd be tight for the late Marib.
I
was
in Roy Shulman after Barbara. I had the guy that came out with
you. Not here. Very good. I would like to read to you from the English adaptation by Baruch Hu, of what to do by Baruch Hu. After explaining Baruch Hu, must be sent present 10 adult males, etc., which we learned. It says, therefore, the Chazan should join the Tzibur in the response of Baruch Hashem HaMavayrach Laylam Vayed, right, which we do, the Chazan. You're dying for Rabbi now for 11 months, so the Chazan says, but he should not say it separately after the Tzibur, because there's a Davish HaBikdusha must be said together with the Tzibur. In many congregations, the Chazan says, Baruch Hashem HaMavayrach Laylam Vayed, after the Tzibur has finished saying it. This is not correct. I am very pleased. The same person came to me, and I showed him. Mishnah Berurah is not so clear. I am very pleased that the meaning in our kehillah, is for the chazan to say it together with the tzibur as is proper. The same applies also to what is called up to the Torah. But same Baruch Hashem and Bavayrach, he tells the tzibur that this paragraph to which he's called up is being read not only for him, but it's being read for the entire tzibur as well. He invites him to join him in honoring the Torah. Therefore, the Ola the Torah should also join the Tzibur and say, Hashem Baruch Laylam Voed, to include himself with them. Whenever I am called up to the Torah, I make sure to say, Hashem Baruch Laylam Voed, together with the Tzibur. Therefore, I'd like to point out that the practice of teaching Bar Mitzvah boys to repeat Baruch Hashem Baruch Laylam Voed after the Tzibur has said it, while sounding very nice, is nevertheless not proper. Rather, they should be taught, and since this is Davish HaBikdusha, it should be set together with the Tzibur. Mishnah Berurah is not so clear. I don't know by Baruch Hu, by Elias. By Elias, the language is a little unclear. Somebody probably said, one that came over to Mati, someone in Mishul came over to me. I say it together, I don't say it after. So we took out the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah's lashon is not that clear. It says the Tzibur says, and then he said it. It doesn't say after, but it could be read that way.
He said that I'm speaking of davening. If I wind up saying Baruch Hashem, I'm Baruch after. If I do it at the same time with the Tzibur.
That's incorrect. So I here he's saying that it's correct. No, the correct thing is to say it together with everybody. That's what?
Say together.
The Yehesh Rabbi say together. The problem is they being might see someone as a Milshman Esrei. So you have to say aloud. The problem is, if someone's a Milshman Esrei, he's supposed to listen to you and be Yitza. It's very hard. Same thing by Kedusha. But Kaddish, you mean? Yeah, Kaddish and Kedusha. Someone a Milshman Esrei is supposed to be listening to you and be Yitza. How can he hear you and be Yitza? The same thing with Kaddish. So I once asked Rav Palm. So Rav Palm said, whoever's in the middle should be Yaitza, whatever's standing next to him. I said, whoever's standing next to him, he's never mind to be Yaitza. So it's okay. So to me, it was a Dov Apella. And then I saw in the Derech Sicha, Chai Knievsky is quoted to say the same thing. That if you're Milosh Ben Esrei and they're up to Kedusha, you can say Kaddish Kaddish with the guy standing next to you. And he says the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is Yechavin Ima Tzibur. Doesn't he Yechavin Ima Shliya Tzibur? It says Yechavin Ima Tzibur. So
there's an idea of saying Kaddish out loud, so the next guy can hear you.
It's always an easy Kaddish Kaddish. It is always an easy Kaddish Kaddish.
You know, I said that.
Good. Good. You're supposed to say that. Okay. What? He say that people do it. And, okay, let's okay, in the Hebrew it says this here briefly. Anyway, let's Kuf Tzadik Zayin Takana B'Yisrael Shayasim Aymer Kaddish. It's the Takana in Kla Yisrael that the Yasim says Kaddish B'Stalach Echa Mehairav V'Godol HaTeyelos Meforsim Midrashi Chazal Shabishah Shanishama Iveres Niku V'Tara B'Gehenim Ishar Aynish Shomaimi Alma She'ivis B'Meshach Hayav Alei Cholet It says that the Kaddish of the son helps Mekushi Hadin. So here, I just wondered, why is it that someone who dies and leaves sons has the Shmira, and someone who had daughters doesn't have the Shmira, or someone who didn't have children doesn't have the Shmira? I don't know. They are Chalufei Minhagim, when they used to divide the Kaddish, or today when they divide the Amid, do you go after the Nifter or after the Avelim? In other words, let's say in a shul, you have three Avelim. Two brothers who lost a parent, and then another person. How do you divide the Amid? Do you say, well, there are three Avelim, so it's one, one, and one? Or do you say that there are two Niftarim, so it's just one and one? Similarly, if there are a bunch of brothers, why is there any need for one brother to go over? What's the difference? Let the other brother go over. It's the same nifter. So the Chuvah Rabbi Kiva Eger, he talks about the two minhagim, do I remember? He says it depends if Kaddish is a din in the nifter or a din in the avelim.
Is it a chefza or a negamah?
Well, if you want to call a dead person chefza, then I guess so.
Yeah, in
the nifter or the gar or the avelim. So he... he's saying the main thing is a schus for the nifter, and that's the main point of the Kaddish. V'zayar chadash parshas achrei shechacham echa diber im nishmas nifter echad shoyis nidayna bedinim kashim. There was a chacham that had contact with the neshama. V'alcha chacham v'limid leben anifter to say kaddish. This is Rabbi Kiva. V'besayf ba neshama v'amar la'isei chacham b'shata da'amar b'ni v'chulu b'shata b'shoa da'avar l'tfilah v'amar kaddish korli g'zadid mikol v'kol. So the revelation was a revelation to an unnamed chacham. If I recall correctly, some source that was Rabbi Kiva. He would reveal to him that they're saying the kaddish is a schluss for the nifter. V'abir b'zeh, the explanation is, shekivan shebra karadavua, since a child is like a foot of his father, who had in shalima, or of his mother, shehu hu ma shenisha lehem b'ilam hazeh acharist ha'kusam, shabenu etzem etz meseyim, u'basam b'psarim, the son is a hemshach, ken yeshir gashmi lo'ovis b'hayalma yedei mitzius tol deseyim. So therefore something remains, l'cheik shomer yosem kaddish, it's as if they are continuing, as if the nifter is saying, that's the kaddish. Now it's interesting that there seems to be a certain amount of debate as to whether, let's say a person says, he has a right to the Amid, there's someone else who, feels bad, or somebody else making a fuss, I'll give it up, and in Shemayim it should, you know, it's just as good, it's just as much as chus. So somebody here asked me, he's going to Yarchei Kala next week. So he has a choice. He can go find a minyan and daven for the Amid, or he can learn and he won't get the Amid. It's a Chaim Belin Yarchei Kala, not going to get me the Amid. Those are the words he said. So I don't know. Do we know what the purpose of what the Teilas of Kaddish is? To say easily, well, if you said learn, it's just as good as a Kaddish. I don't know. It's the kind. It appears to be the Kaddish. The davening, to the extent that you might see the tzibur, it's the whole davening. Even benching. Leading the benching is a schos. It appears that. So I don't know. I don't know if we understand the tales of the Kaddish to know. I know it says in Geshra Chaim, if somebody pushes you away from the Yomit Shalai Kedin, that the Kaddish schos goes to the parent who it's supposed to go to. How he knows exactly, I don't know, but that's what he says. He quotes somebody. But, what? If someone pushes away Shalai Kedin, this is not Shalai Kedin. It's hard to know. I know in his Tzavah, the Ritvaz, the Slutsker Rav, wrote in his Tzavah to his children that on a Yartzai day, if you didn't learn a black Gemara that day, don't say Kaddish for me. He says, I understand, sometimes you're busy, you can't do it, but I'm not going to have any Nachas Ruach in Gan Eden if you say Kaddish for me on a day that you didn't learn a black Gemara. So, that's what he says. I know Rav Palm said publicly, it wasn't his style, because there was a Rebbe in the Yeshiva who had just done this. A Rebbe in the Yeshiva had done this. And Rav Palm in his shmuz, I guess he didn't want people to learn from him. Rav Palm said, I don't understand. On a Yartzai, people go to Eretz Yisrael. They take a couple of days off of Yeshiva. And they go fly to Eretz Yisrael. Wouldn't it be better if you gave that money to someone who's sitting and learning? And you spent all that extra time yourself sitting and learning. Wouldn't that be better than to fly there and go to the kever? That's what Rav Palm said. In general, in the literature world, they're not as into visiting the kever, except the first year. The first year, it says in the Ramban, it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch. But beyond the first year, this minhag to visit the kever every yahrzeit, it's not so, I don't know, it's very widespread in certain Hasidic circles. It's very hard to know. Yeah, I understand. I went to my father's yahrzeit as long as my mother was alive. It was kibbutz. My mother expected to go. But now, I should take a day off from yeshiva to go. I teach, so I should take a day off, so I don't go. So I go and go up to the mountains in the summer, so it's not so much out of the way. So I go. I try. I have to go once a year. I have a brother, a father, and a mother buried there, so. And Yom Nairam is submitting to go, so between the four, you know, I try to go. I don't know. It's hard to know. Yeah, Rav Palm used to tell the story. Said, "Do I don't know which lesson to learn more?" But he said that the Goyin said that the mother was happy to see them, whatever that means. If you have a son like the Goyin, I guess. But the question is, why is he doing to his mother if he's there or if he's here? Like, you know, like.
No, he said because
she's happy to see me. That's why he stopped going. The tumah. That's why he stopped. But initially he said that he saw how happy she was.
What?
He told his brother he saw how happy mommy was that we came. So his brother said, I didn't see how happy she was, like, but the girl could see. Anyway, there is an need to visit. Not everyone sits and learns otherwise, so there's an need to go. It seems to us. Yeah, Rav Palm used to say that to Avelam. He said Kaddish was the lowest thing. It's like sending regards, and learning is like sending a letter, and supporting someone who's learning is like sending a kugel. Like sending a kugel. That's what he said. So, alright.